living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Thanks, Jim. Jim's going to preach from that word now.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to bring God's word again to you, although it's online. For those who don't know me, I'm Jim Kuswadi from the 915 English service. And it has been several years since I preached at 4 p.m. live. Let's come to the Lord with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our loving Heavenly Father in this time of turmoil. We thank you that we have the assurance of your love, because we are a chosen people belonging to you. Now please help us to focus on this letter of Peter. Teach us what you want us to do with this passage, and be obedient with the help of the Holy Spirit. Will you also help me to speak clearly and explain your word faithfully? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. SBS TV recently had a series called "Who Do You Think You Are?" In the program, well-known Australians like Rebecca Gibney, Toni Collette, Luke Nguyen, The Wiggles' Jeff Fett, and others investigate their family history to get a better understanding of who they are, what their identity is. The Wiggles' Jeff Fett, for instance, went back to Tinga in northern New South Wales, where he comes from, to understand his identity. Who is he? Is he Chinese? Is he Australian? Is he a children's worker? Or is he a singer? Knowing our identity is important to give us a sense of belonging, a purpose, and a direction in life. Being in lockdown for 9 weeks is also affecting our sense of identity. We feel alienated and socially distanced from family and friends. Now, if this is your first year at uni, for instance, maybe you've never even experienced normal campus life. Lockdown causes a loss of belonging and a loss of identity. Who are we? Now, that is similar to the recipients of Peter's letter. If you remember, the Apostle Peter wrote his letter in around AD 64. Excuse me. It's been three services, so excuse me. He wrote this letter around AD 64 to a mix of Jewish and Gentile Christians living in the northern part of modern Turkey. The Jewish Christians believed that Jesus is the Messiah, and therefore they no longer followed many of the Old Testament laws. So their fellow Jews said, you don't belong to us anymore. You've lost your Jewish identity. That then raised the question for the Jewish Christians. Who are we now? And unless they had a strong Christian identity, it was easy to return to the Jewish faith. Similarly with the Gentile Christians. In a society that believed in many gods, they were ostracized for saying that there was only one God and that there was only one way to come to him, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. So that made the Gentile Christians lose their sense of belonging. And unless they had a strong Christian identity, it was easy to backslide into the old pagan society. This is still the same in our Christian life today. Do you maybe feel like them today? Maybe you became a Christian recently, and after a while, you notice that your friends are distancing themselves from you. They no longer include you in their fun activities. Some even started saying negative things about you. They think you are narrow-minded. You are a prude. You are a spoilsport. They no longer consider you to be one of them. You're becoming ostracized. Even some family members don't like you being a Christian. And unless you firmly know your Christian identity, the temptation is to give up your faith and become one of the gang again. Or maybe you notice that more and more society is changing. Every day when you read the news or watch the social media, you notice critical articles about Christians. Your values and outlook are more and more out of step with society around you. The world is slowly turning against you. So that makes you anxious and unsettled about the future. And unless you firmly know what your Christian identity is, it's easy to hide your faith and compromise with the world. Well, the good news is that this passage this morning, this afternoon, clearly answers the question of who we are and what our Christian identity is. Now, please keep your Bibles open to 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 12. It is always a good idea when listening to a sermon to have your Bibles open so you can follow the sermon and check if the speaker is faithful. This passage can be divided into three parts. First, we're becoming ostracized because we follow Jesus. So Peter reminds us first who Jesus is. What is his identity? Verses 4 to 8. Secondly, as followers of Jesus, we have a new identity. And in verses 9 to 10, Peter shows how amazing this new identity is. Thirdly, now we have a new identity. How does it shape our lives? Verses 11 to 12. First, Jesus' identity. In verse 4, Peter says that Jesus is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. That's Jesus' identity. Jesus is precious, God's only son, who was sent on earth to show people what God is like and to die on the cross to take the punishments that we deserve for rebelling against God. You see, God loves people, and he wants to have a close personal relationship with each one of us. So incredible as it may seem, God sent his only son, Jesus, to make that possible for sinful people to have fellowship with the holy, almighty God. In verse 6, Peter quoted Isaiah 28, verse 16, where Jesus was likened to a cornerstone of a building. When you have a bare piece of land and you want to construct a building, the cornerstone determines where you start. It's a reference point for the whole building. If you don't start at the cornerstone, the building location and orientation will be all wrong. So Jesus' identity is God's cornerstone for us. To have a relationship with the holy, almighty God, we must first build on this crucial foundation stone. We must be joined to him. There is no other way. So this is the first point. Jesus' identity as the cornerstone of God. In the second point, Peter gives a quick summary of their old identity. He reminds the Gentile Christians, and that includes us, that originally we were not God's chosen people, verse 10. The Jews were. God chose Abraham to be the father of a new Jewish people. Neither did we receive mercy, verse 10. All people are sinners and deserve God's punishment, not mercy. Since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, we all inherited this rebellious attitude. We're all without mercy. That was our original identity. But the good news is that God sent Jesus as the cornerstone for all people. Now, it's true that some rejected Jesus, verse 4. They do not believe, verse 7. With the result in verse 8, they stumble, which is also what they were destined for. Now, sometimes it seems harsh to say some people were destined to fall. But notice that it says also in verse 8 that they were disobedient. So there is an element of free will, the exercising of free will. All we can say is God loves everyone. His offer is available to everyone, but we also have free will. Fortunately, others, like most of us here today, chose to trust in him, verse 6b, and believe, verse 7. And because of that, our identity changed completely. All who believe in Jesus become like living stones in verse 5. Not dead lumps of granite, but living stones. Just like Jesus is the living stone in verse 4. And together, collectively, we are being built into a spiritual house. This is the picture of the worldwide church. Collectively, we are a people of worship. Note being built. It is a continuous process. The people of worship continues to grow. The church is the people. There is no longer a need for a temple. God does not live in a temple built of dead stones. God lives in the heart of each believer. Our new identity is spelled out in verse 5. We are to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in verses 9 to 10, Peter expands on our new identity by mentioning three aspects. First, you are a chosen people, verse 9. we don't have to have Jewish blood to be God's chosen people. All God's promises to Israel in the Old Testament now applies to us. Isn't it amazing to think that we are God's chosen people? Out of the billions of people on earth, the Almighty, Holy, pure God chose us, you and me. Doesn't that make us fall down in humble adoration? It has nothing to do with our own merits or achievements. It is purely by God's grace. It was His prerogative to choose us. We are now God's chosen people. That's our identity. So if you have not yet asked God for forgiveness, here is your chance to be included in God's chosen people. Speak to a friend or a pastor and pray to the waiting, loving God. Turn away from your rebellious attitude and accept Jesus' sacrifice as payment for your sins. Number two, not only are we chosen, but we've also been promoted to royal priesthood status, verse 9. Everyone who trusts in Jesus is now a priest. We don't have to be descendants of Aaron or be a Levite. All believers are priests, called to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, as verse 5 says earlier. In practice, it means that we don't need any human intermediary to come to God. At any time, we can ask for forgiveness for our sins without confessing it to a priest. And thirdly, we are a holy nation, verse 9. Holy means separated, set apart for God. We no longer belong to this society. We are a people belonging to God, verse 9. Or as the 2011 NIV says, God's special possession. Previously, we belonged to Satan, but now we have been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. Verse 9. Belonging means that we are now owned by God. We have a new master. How do you and I feel about our wonderful new identity in Christ? Yes, society may ostracize us. Yes, we are indeed different and we don't belong here. Yes, there is even anxiety and maybe fear looking at what the future holds. But Peter reminds of our amazing new identity in Christ, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is what you and I are now. What an amazing privilege. Identity shapes lives. In that SBS program, Who Do You Think You Are? When someone discovers they have aristocratic ancestry or are descendants of convicts, their life changes because they are mindful of who they are, what their identity is. So for us, how does our new identity shape our lives? Well, this is the third part that Peter addresses. Going back to verses 9 and 10, we see several implications of our new identity. As a priest, what can we offer as spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, as verse 5 says? Well, God will accept our prayers for other people. When someone is stressed or feeling down, we can pray for them. During lockdown, this is actually easier to do because we don't have to travel to meet them face to face over coffee or lunch. Just pick up the phone and talk to people who need encouragement. If you're not sure what to say verbally, maybe just send them a text. Send them a song or a Bible passage. Or challenge them to a game of chess or some other computer game. Go over your contact list and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to the right people who need encouragement every week. Excuse me. Here's another example, practical example, of how a priest can be a channel of God's blessing. Last month, my wife Jeanette and I were stressed by my sister's death in Melbourne. I was asked to take the funeral, which I've never done before. On top of that was the stress of trying to get permission to enter Victoria, because Greater Sydney was a red zone. Thank God that in the end, it all went well. When we got back to Sydney, our son's family in Brisbane, instead of sending us flowers, blessed us by ordering Uber Eats. We were so touched by that idea that we have copied it. We looked around for people who were grieving or feeling down, and ordered a meal delivery for them too. So far, we've done that for 7 families. It costs a bit of money, but it is such a joy for the recipients to know that someone is thinking of them. As priests, let us be channels of blessing to others. And if you are struggling with the demands of working or studying from home and live in a stressful home situation with flatmates or parents or siblings, can you be the priest who brings calm and joy in that situation? Can you be the channel of God's love? Each morning, let us ask the Holy Spirit to empower us with his grace for that day. Pray and ask that we will be the intermediary between him and our friends and family. Next, notice the purpose of us having this new identity in verse 9, that you may declare the praises of him who called you. It is our responsibility and privilege to praise God and make him known to all around us. We should be making disciples, teaching others about Jesus, helping people move to the right one step at a time. Don't think this is the job of pastors only. Remember, we are all priests. We share in this responsibility and privilege. Another aspect is that together as a church, we can do things that we can't do on our own. What's an example of this? Well, a church can be a warm family where God's love is demonstrated. Often, what attracts a non-Christian coming to church is seeing a group of people who love each other and who have a higher purpose in life. We can still do this on Zoom. Invite your friends and stay in the breakout rooms after the service. Collectively as a church, as a living temple, we can declare God's love to the world. And in verse 11, Peter reminds us again that we are aliens and foreigners in this world. We're just passing through on the way home to where Christ is. During this journey, we need to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Verse 11. What war with yourself are you facing right now? Each day, we have wrong desires or thoughts, maybe lustful thoughts, or the wrong internet sites, or a desire for material possession, or a desire for people's praises, or a desire just to be selfish and not bother about others. There is a constant internal war going on against our own soul. Are you winning that war? We can only win this war if we ask the Holy Spirit to constantly remind us that now we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We need to depend on God through prayer to win this war. Let us pray more often throughout the day, not just in the morning when we get up and late at night before going to sleep. Peter also encourages us in verse 12 by saying, live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Yes, we may be accused of many wrong things by the pagans, that is society around us. We have seen many examples of this even in Australia, where Christians are accused of doing the wrong thing when they were obeying scripture. But Peter says, don't worry. Just continue to lead good lives and do good deeds, because ultimately, unbelievers will glorify God because of our lives. Note that this may not come in our lifetime, but it will definitely come on the day he visits us, verse 12. That is on Judgment Day at the end of the world. What a great encouragement to drive us on and live a life that glorifies our Lord despite facing opposition from society. In summary, we have a new identity as God's chosen people. On earth, we are strangers and aliens just passing through during our short lifetime. But while we pass through this world, individually, we are priests who bless others. Collectively, we are a holy temple. And ultimately, our task is declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. This coming week, let us be firm in our new identity and live accordingly to the glory of God. Amen.